Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor Tim, you're a bridger. You're a bridge builder. You're a bridger. You're bridging people together.
Amen.
And I see that gift in you, and it's phenomenal. Everything I've heard about you, and I've heard good things about you from more than just the pastor. All right. Pastor, he talks good about everybody. you're not going to find a bad word in pastor's mouth, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. You are a bridge builder, and God's going to bless you for that. And God's going to do some awesome things in your life. And I'm glad you're part of New Life for the Nations.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'll tell you what. You guys are in a blessed season at this church. Pastors believe in God. His mm-hmm. wife's believe in God. They mm-hmm. are seasoned, and you learn from them. Mm-hmm. You know, at this yeah. time, in the overflow that's going to come over them, but you guys are mature believers. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be spoon-fed. You know how to clean your own house. You know how to get your own food. You know how to get out the Bible. Mm-hmm. You have the Spirit of God that lives within you, mm-hmm. that teaches you and guides you. Mm-hmm. You guys are believers that are mature
right.
and seasoned right. for such a time as this. And it's so exciting because the pastors are so rich and full. They're hitting a different season.
Right.
Of their life. Now, there was a time he used his mower and pushed all that property with his push mower. That's not the season he's in.
Hallelujah.
But pastor has more wisdom and is listening to the voice of God so
right.
closely. Don't get far away
right.
from your shepherd. Pray for him.
Right.
But listen closely. If there's one small word, listen to that God
right.
word. It can transform your life.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sis. Hallelujah. Just take it back there if you want. That young man up there will take care of it. God bless you. I tell you what, I thank God for my wife. She's a gift from God in 36 years. Man, we're getting ready to, it'll be 37 this November or 36? We're married in 1976. Somebody do the math for me. That's 37, isn't it? Oh, 36? 1976? Yeah, this is 2012. That's right. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I'm just thrilled I'm thrilled to have her as my wife. And she's stuck through a lot of junk and a lot of trash, let me tell you. And I've always not been the best husband.
Yeah.
I've been the best for her. But I've not always been the best man of God, let's put it that way. But you know what? God doesn't look at the past. How many of you are thankful that God does not look at the past? Amen. Come on. If we can let go of the past, we can grab a hold of the present and the future, and God will do awesome things. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter to me what has taken place in the past. What matters to me is what I am believing God for and expecting God to do in the future and in the present. I don't want to leave the present alone either because I've got to live in the present. Amen. So I want my present to be blessed of the Lord, and it is blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be an American. That was good, brother. Those flags coming up, man, that just did something. And the song did something too, but the flags did something. I appreciate that. How many of you thankful you're born in America?
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm gonna tell you something. Hallelujah. My prayer for the upcoming election is this, and doesn't matter to me what party you belong to. That's immaterial.
Yes.
Everybody say, that's immaterial.
That's immaterial.
It doesn't matter what party you belong to. And it doesn't matter whether a man's running or a woman's running or an African-American's running or a Caucasian's running or an American Indian's running or a Jew or a Greek or a German or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter what your heritage is and what your descent is. What matters, bottom line, for believers, is where is your stand with Jesus Christ and the Word of God? And that's all I'm going to say about the upcoming election. But we better examine our lives as believers and vote the Word of God. Now, Brother Ron said, you vote issues, and I'm going to take it one step further. And, of course, I know you brought that in. You vote the Word of God, too, with your issues. But I'm saying you forget the people, and you vote the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So examine yourselves. You know, I used to have people say, well, I'm going to vote for so-and-so. This is years ago. So this has no effect on anybody now. But I'm going to vote for so-and-so because they're going to help our pocketbook.
Uh-oh.
I said, they're what? And I said, man, where's your faith? Where's your faith? If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're not going to vote for somebody because they're going to affect your pocketbook. Amen?
Yeah.
And I'm just thank God. I thank God that regardless of who's leading the nation, I belong to a higher kingdom. And my kingdom overrides the kingdom of the United States of America. Every day of the week I wake up and I belong to the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is what prospers me, what blesses me, what protects me, what heals me, what encourages me, what strengthens me from the inside out and not the outside in. But I will encourage God's people to get out and vote. And my prayer for the upcoming election, I never did say it, is this, that God, I want you to deal hard with the hearts of your people.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Because if the church wakes up and finds out who she really is, she's going to find out that we really are the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
And being the bride of Christ, we're going to take responsibility for what this nation does.
Right.
Amen. That's enough said about the upcoming election for me. Might be too much said. I don't know. We're going to continue this morning, Judges chapter 6. We're going to actually finish Judges chapter 6. And once again, you know, I was trying to maybe teach on something else this morning, but God brought me back to this again. And so we're going to continue on Judges chapter 6. And Gideon, how many of you appreciate what you're learning about Gideon? I love the humanity that Gideon had, because I see, sadly enough, that humanity in me. And, you know, you would think somebody says, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 6 years old. I never will forget. It was a Sunday night in a church over in Ithaca, Ohio, that you probably never heard of. And that's okay, but the power of God was there. The presence of the Holy Ghost was there. And I started weeping and crying. My parents always sit on the second row. And I started weeping and crying in the service that night. My mom said, "What are you crying about? Are you sick?" I said, "No, I'm not sick." "Or do you feel okay? Do you hurt anywhere?" "I don't feel." I said, "No, I don't hurt anywhere. I don't know why I'm crying." She said, "Do you want to go to the altar? Do you want to go to the altar?" And that night, my mama took me up to the altar. And I made a conscious decision that night to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I've never regretted it to this day. And I never will regret it.
Amen.
But it's something I can always go back to, brother.
Right.
That's an experience I can always go back to. Now, my father said that when I was 3 or 4, I prayed a prayer of salvation as a little 3 or 4-year-old. But when it first became real to me, and how many of you know, until something becomes real to you, it ain't real?
That's right.
Until it becomes real to you, you will never let go of it. Once it becomes real, you'll never let go of it. Never. So praise God. But we're talking about Gideon and the fact that he has so much humanity in him, and yet there's such a powerful move of God upon him as a man. And I want us to read verse 14 this morning for our springboard scripture. Can we do that? Will you do that with me? Verse 14, I'm actually reading now the King James Version this morning on this one. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this your might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Have not I sent thee? And so the title of today's message is Holy Ghost Inspired Challenges Bring Holy Ghost Inspired Victories.
Amen.
All right, Holy Ghost Inspired. Listen, I don't want to live a life that's not Holy Ghost Inspired. I don't want to live a life of doldrum and just everything every day the same. I'm not talking about working. I am talking about our walk with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the things we're believing God for. I'm talking about our expectations and the things that God is wanting to speak to us. And by the way, every promise is yours. Every one. Whether we're walking in it or not, this book is full of promises, and all these promises belong to you and to me. So what is God speaking to us? He's speaking His Word to us every day. Man, he's encouraging us. He's trying to speak to us in the Holy Ghost. He's trying to direct us. He's trying to speak to us through His Word, through His Spirit. He's already spoken through His blood, amen?
Amen.
And given us salvation. He's an awesome God. Holy Ghost-inspired challenges bring Holy Ghost-inspired victories. How many of you know that Gideon, there's no way he could have done what he did without the power of God? There is no way. There is no way. Listen, well, I'll not get ahead of myself. Number one, Point number one, are you ready? If you're taking notes, I hope you take notes. The Lord will require you to give a sacrifice to Him. We've already covered a lot of Gideon, so this morning we're going to get into some more of Gideon. But the Lord, number one, will require you to give a sacrifice to Him. Listen, we live in a society that just because I was born in America does not make me worthy of eating and sleeping and everything else. Amen. Come on. Just because I was born in the Pierce family, that only gives me Pierce family rights. But if I violate the covenant of the Pierce family, and we don't have a covenant, we probably should have, but if I violate the covenant of the Pierce family, the unwritten covenant, then how many of you know I cut myself out of those rights of the Pierce covenant? Just because we were born into the kingdom of God, for that reason alone, we have covenant rights. For that reason alone, you see, the kingdom of God is not like an earthly kingdom. The kingdom of God has covenant rights that are ours just because, man, we confess Jesus as our Savior. We have certain inalienable rights that supersede every other right. And the Holy Ghost will speak things to you and call for things to come out of your life, call for things to take place in your life that you say, there's no way this can happen. There's just no way. Usually when you're hearing that voice, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost speaking to you, not the voice of no way. When you're hearing that voice and then you hear that other voice, there's no way, you better follow what the Holy Ghost spoke, because He's talking to you and He's challenging you to go beyond what you can do on your own. Yeah. And when we go beyond what we can do on our own, life just becomes exciting. Yeah. Or as your mom used to say, egg-citing. Well, that's from years ago, isn't it? Life becomes egg-citing. Oh, my goodness. Verse 24, go there with me, chapter 6, verse 24. Let's make sure I got it right. Okay, so then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. I want you to know something, that when God calls you to do something, because we're talking about Holy Ghost-inspired challenges today, when God calls you to do something, He will still speak peace to you.
Amen.
I love it because God speaks peace to you before a battle, in the midst of the battle, and after the battle. You know why? You know why He does that? Because He's Jehovah Shalom. He can't speak anything else. I mean, the only thing He can do is speak peace to us. Listen, when trials are about to come our way, there's this God of peace that passes all understanding and will guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's this God of peace that will build a fortress round about us, I think the Amplified says. Be a fortress around our mind. There's this God of peace that says, build me an altar and call it peace. I think that in our homes in America today, we need to start building some altars and call it peace. Peace to the church, peace to America, peace to my marriage, peace to my home, peace to my kids that are going astray. Peace, peace, peace. But you don't get an altar without a sacrifice. Or let me reverse that. Every time you have an altar, guess what's going to happen? Because an altar is a useless thing if there's no sacrifice made on it. And I understand that Jesus paid the price for us.
Yes.
But folks, there are certain things you will not get in the kingdom of God without sacrifice.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, you're right.
Yes. I mean, I'll tell you what, I've soaked myself and immersed myself in the grace message. And at the same time that I'm listening to the grace message and how much God loves me regardless of what I've done, who I am, or where I am today, He still loves me. He still speaks His love to me. He also still speaks, now son, you know that's not what I've called you to do.
That's right.
You know, I haven't called you to walk there. You have no business going in that building. You have no business doing that. You have no business, whatever the case may be, I'm trying to find things that maybe we as people do. You have no business ingesting that into your body. You have no business. But at the same time, he speaks peace to us. Verses 25 through 27, I'm going to read to you out of the King James Version of the Bible first, and follow along if you have a King James Version. If not, you just follow along as best you can. Amen. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto Gideon, you see, we're talking about a sacrifice. Take your father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old. Say that with me. The second bullock of 7 years old. Say it again. The second bullock of 7 years old. Why is that important? I'll tell you in a minute why it's important. Take the second bullock of 7 years old and throw down the altar of Baal that your father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock, which bullock?
Second.
And offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Sounds interesting. Let's keep reading verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household. Isn't that interesting? He feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. You see, God spoke to Gideon's heart and said, Gideon, I want a sacrifice, and this is what I want this sacrifice to consist of. You're going to tear down the altar of Baal. You're going to tear down that altar, and folks, I hope this isn't, I'll try and be as nice as I can and gentle as I can and discreet as I can. I hope this doesn't offend you. But the Asherah, or the grove that Gideon cut down, was a site of sexual things taking place in the land of Israel that Israelites were doing. That God said, you're not going to do that and get by with it. And so what God required Gideon to do, in order to get, now listen to me, because this is for the church. What God required Gideon to do, in order to get the presence of God moving again, was he said, get rid of the sin. Get rid of the sin. And so what Gideon had to do was he had to take, and he was afraid. Remember last time I was here? What did I say? 2 out of 3 people deal with fear in their lives? Yeah. Gideon was afraid. But he still did what God said to do. Now I want to read this out to you out of the Message translation so that it's easier for you to understand what's actually taking place here. Verse 20, 25 again. Just kind of listen to me. Unless you have a Message translation, then read in your Message translation. That night this happened. God said to him, take your father's best 7-year-old bull, the prime one. Tear down your father's Baal altar and chop down the Asherah fertility pole beside it. That was Judges 6:25. Now this is what one commentator says about this whole situation. There is some difficulty in this verse, for according to the Hebrew text, 2 bullocks are mentioned here. How many of you remember that? And which one were we supposed to take?
Second
of 7 years old. But there is only one mention in Judges chapter 6, verses 26 to 28. But what was this second bullock? Now listen, some think that it was a bullock that was fattened in order to be offered in sacrifice to Baal. Now what did God require? God said, you take that sacrifice that was going to be given to the devil,
and his bunch, and you bring it and you offer it on my altar so that I can start doing in Israel what I want to do in Israel, and I can do in the church what I want to do in the church. Amen. And it took a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It took a sacrifice. This is very probable, as the second bullock is so particularly distinguished from another which belonged to Gideon's father. Now listen to this. As the altar was built upon the ground of Joash, Joash, by the way, is Gideon's father, this altar to Baal was built upon the ground of who?
Gideon's father.
You know what that says? Gideon's father was an idolater. Gideon's own father was a devil worshiper. And Gideon, no wonder he was afraid. But he had the guts to believe God. When the Holy Ghost spoke, and I keep saying the Holy Ghost because in the New Covenant, God speaks to our heart through His Spirit many times, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost spoke to him, he obeyed what was said to him. Now he had men he took with him. That's not bad, not a bad idea. For protection. He didn't want to get hurt while he was cutting down that altar if they caught him, and he did it at night so everybody was sleeping. But where this altar was built also appears to have been on public property. So the second ox was probably reared and fattened at the expense of the men of the village. Or why would they have so particularly resented it being offered to Jehovah? Yeah. So we have this scenario here where this man of God, Gideon, who has turned his back, folks, on his family and said, I'm going the way of God. I can't control my family. I can't control my family's destiny that I have no control over. Come on.
Right. Yeah.
But as for me, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow the ways of God regardless of what this, and I'm going to tell you something, regardless of what this nation does in 2 months, I'm going to serve God, and I'm still going to believe God. And I don't care who the president of the United States is or who our congressmen or our congresswomen or our senators are or our county governments or our city governments or our village governments. I'm still going to pray and seek God's face and believe God to move upon this nation.
Amen.
Amen. But Gideon did what God said to do. It's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. We don't understand all of this stuff because we're not into covenants and we're not into sacrifices here. You know, I'm not going to find an altar. The only altar you're going to find behind my house is a fire pit back behind my barn that's about 6x6 that when the trees fall down on my yard, we take back there, make a brush pile, and then I invite my kids over so I don't have to do the work, and we have a cookout, and they cook up my wood. That's the only altar you're going to find back there, and there's going to be hot dogs hanging over it and hamburgers and maybe or whatever the case may be, and they really like marshmallows, you know. But he took this bullock. Now verse 26 says, then build an altar to God your God on the top of this hill. Take the prime bull and present it as a whole burnt offering using firewood from the Asherah pole that you cut down. You see, God is saying, listen, I'm wiping out every semblance of demonic worship off of this land. Because God's going to come on, and He's purifying that land. The presence of God is holy. We all know that. Even under the new covenant, I'm telling you, the presence of God is awesome, and He's holy. So He's saying to Gideon, I'm going to bring my holy presence onto this land, and I'm not bringing my holy presence onto a land that's full of filth.
Right.
Now, thank God, Jesus did. Amen. He really did. He brought His holy presence onto a world that was filled with filth. And Jesus said, I'm shedding my blood, my precious pure blood, for the sins of all mankind. Now that's awesome.
But we see under the old covenant here that God wanted even the land to be pure. I believe God wants the land to be pure today too. And that's up to us as believers to see that happen, to see that that happens, to speak the word of God and take the word of God with us. So verse 27, Gideon selected 10 men from his servants and did exactly what God had told him. But because of his family and the people in the neighborhood, he was afraid to do it openly. So he did it that night. If any of you have trouble understanding the King James Version of the Bible, I can understand that. Get a Message translation. It brings everything. Man, I'm telling you, you won't have much trouble understanding that one. But he feared his father's household. So it appears that his father was an idolater. We already covered that. But as Gideon had 10 men of his own servants whom he could trust in this matter, it is probable that he had preserved the true faith and that had not bowed his knee to Baal. I love that, don't you? I love to see a man or woman of God that doesn't bow down to the devil. Even in our society today, I despise myself when I give in to a temptation from the enemy. I despise myself. And I hate it when we as a church, and I'm not talking about this, I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints. I'm talking about the church, okay? Talking about the church, the blood-bought redeemed church that we're all part of. I hate it when I see church people stand up and justify things that are directly against the Word of God and excuse it and say, well, that's okay because God knows where I'm at and He knows what I'm dealing with. I'm going to tell you something. I want to say to them, don't you know that Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness? That the grace and power are two words that can go together. That if you're having trouble with sin, don't excuse your sin, but understand that God's grace is a power that is sufficient to bring you out of that addiction or that sin. Oh, Christian. I'm not calling you a sinner. I'm calling you a Christian. And you say, well, can Christians sin? Look at your life. I like what Pastor Jerry said years ago. Pastor Gerald Relaford said years ago, sin was, I never will forget this message, comes from Greek word, or missing the mark, humateo or something like that. Missing the mark. Do Christians ever miss the mark?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So do Christians sin? Yes. Is there forgiveness? Absolutely. But don't justify your sin. I like another verse of Scripture in the New Testament that says this. That no temptation is common to man, but it is such that God will make a way out of that temptation. I know that it's not word for word King James language, but as you understand, it is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That He will make a way of escape out of that temptation. Not a way of excuse.
Amen.
Not a way of excuse.
Yeah.
God does not excuse the sin.
No.
He forgives it. And before you ever do it, He made a way out if you follow that way.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. You're right.
I'm telling you. I know this seems to fly in the face of the grace message, but it doesn't. This goes along right with the grace message because Jesus still loves you.
Yeah.
He still loves you.
Yeah.
And He's you're not going to go to hell if you miss the mark. If you sin as a believer, as a Christian, folks, you're not going to go to hell if you die right after you sin. It ain't going to happen because the blood of Jesus is stronger than that. Amen? So let me get that, just make sure that's right, you understand that. So, Baal and Asherah, okay, the men of the city, this is interesting. Let me get the next point. The next point is, first point was what? Who's taking notes? Who can tell me the first point? Exactly, that's good, brother. Okay, the second point is this. Your sacrifice will offend other people. How many of you know that life just sometimes seems to be about offenses? You know, Jesus Himself said what? Offenses will?
come, right? But then he said, woe unto those by whom they come. And he was talking about another kind of offense. But your sacrifice, when God calls you to make a sacrifice, listen, people are going to get offended because they're not going to understand everything about you because they don't know your heart, because they don't understand the voice of God speaking to you the way he's speaking to you, because he's not speaking to them the same way.
Right.
And in the same respect, it's not right for me to say to God, God, you're requiring this out of me. What about Pastor Tim? I mean, come on, Pastor Tim should, everybody knows he ought to have more required out of him than out of me. See, I get to come in, blow in, blow up, and blow out. He's got to stay here. But you know, and we joke about that, but I want you to understand that your sacrifice will offend people.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. It really is okay. Now, how you deal with the offense sometimes is not very good. But because of the humanity part of us, we don't always deal with offense like Jesus deals with offense.
Right.
You know, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. I can't believe they said that about me. I'd like to reach out and slap them silly. I just can't picture Jesus saying that.
Nope.
But I can picture me saying it. As a matter of fact, I've heard me say that sometimes. What are we going to do with this? Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus today and the forgiveness? Amen. Verses 28 through 31, Message translation again. Early in the morning, the people in the town were shocked. Everybody say shocked. Say it like you're shocked. Shocked. Who tore down Baal's altar? Oh, what are we going to do? Somebody took down our prized altar. Somebody took down the God we were trusting in.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were shocked to find Baal's altar torn down and the Asherah pole beside it chopped down. And the prime bull burning away on the altar that had been built. I love it. The prime bull. They had some prime rib burning that day, baby. They may have had a prime rib roast. Everybody wants some prime rib? Come on up. Maybe we're going to have us some prime rib. I don't have prime rib very often. You know why? It's a prime price. Yeah, that's right. But when I have the opportunity to have it, I don't say, no, thank you. That was offered on Baal's altar. I say, I'll take it. Well, anyways, prime rib. They kept asking, verse 29, who did this? Questions and more questions, and then the answer, Gideon, that son of Joash. I know he did it. I never will forget. I'll just share this little line in passing. That when we lived out here in Long Hunter Subdivision, how many of you know where that is in Columbia? Well, it's okay. And we lived out there in Long Hunter Subdivision, and there came a time when Columbia decided that we had to have city sewer. You know, we had the lateral lines in our yard, and they wanted city sewer to go in. So every one of us had to pay as property owner homeowners. We had to pay, I don't know, something like $200 or $300. My goodness, if that's all we had to pay to get city water in Vandalia where we live, now we had to pay $10,000 to get city water, and then we had to pay it. Yeah, as a property owner. 171 road foot frontage, and I had to pay $10,000 just to get city water on my property. Had no choice. But that's okay. God's faithful.
Amen.
So that $200 sounds real good in Columbia. But anyways, it was tough on us at the time. You know, I was working at Oshkosh, and we were barely making ends meet, and we were believing God for everything we ate and every stitch of clothing we had. And my kids still sometimes talk about how they had to wear clothes with holes, and they never got to wear name brand clothes. Hey, Kmart will cover you just like Guess well.
Amen.
And you know, you won't even look like a hoochie mama when you do that. But that's right. As one sister said, that's right. So anyways, our kids never would look like that anyways. They were boys. But I guess they could look like hoochie papas or something. I don't know. But anyways, my wife says, move on. So city sewer came through, and I had to come up with $200, man, and it was difficult. But we believed God, and man, we came up with the money and stuff. Caleb was talking, our youngest. You got to know Caleb. He's still the same, by the way. He's wiser now, but he's still just as blunt. And he said, I know why we had to do that. It's Clinton's fault. It's all because of President Clinton. Isn't that a hoot? Kids say the funniest things, don't they? We laughed, and I finally said, son, I hate to tell you this, but President Clinton doesn't even know we exist. And he doesn't even know about Long Hunter Subdivision. This is the city that caused it. But we still laugh about that. Don't tell him I shared that. I don't know. Some of you doing your, what is that called, homepage or Facebook, yeah. Yeah. Ask him if it's President Clinton's fault when you see him. Facebook him next time. Oh, well, anyways, let's move on. It was funny. They kept asking who did it. Now, the verse 3, the men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son, he must die. Woo, that's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? He got to die for this thing. He's got a baby, he did this, he offended us, and he's going to die for this offense. He killed that poor cow. He tore down poor Baal's altar. He tore down the Asherah pole. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Sound like that guy in Mayberry RFD now, Barney. What are we going to do, Andy? Oh, my goodness. Bring out your son. He must die. Why? He tore down the Baal altar and chopped down the Asherah tree. I'm going to tell you something. I'm believing God that America never falls. But if America does, the kingdom of heaven is still there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen. On Christ. Sing it with me. The solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand on Christ regardless. Gideon had to stand on the Word of God regardless of what took place. Now let me read to you again what Adam Clark says about this. The men of the city said, they all felt an interest in the continuance of rights in which, and I want you to think about America today as I read this to you. Would you? Would you just think about America? It'll break our hearts. They all felt an interest in the continuance of rites in which they had often many sensual gratifications. Baal and Ashtaroth would have more worshipers than the true God because their rites were more adapted to the fallen nature of humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And folks, America needs a move of God today. We need a move of God. But you're not going to get it happening unless you start praying and speaking and proclaiming the word of Almighty God.
That's right.
How can they hear except they have someone preach?
Yeah.
And how can someone preach except he not be sent? We've all been sent. We're all kings and priests unto our God. What does a priest do? A priest declares the word of God. What does a king do? A king goes forth in sovereign authority and power. Folks, every one of us as believers have been called to declare the word of God with power and authority and say, this nation belongs to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And Gideon was a representative in one way of the church. And we live in America, and we live in a nation, and it's not just America, but the world at large. The Bible says that as time goes on, gross darkness will increase more and more.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we have to partake of it.
Right. But
we can pull people out. The Bible, I think, says something like this, snatching them out of the very fire that's burning them and being very cautious about it, lest that fire get you.
but loving people enough to do that.
Yes.
Your sacrifice will offend other people. See, people can be offended by some of the things that we're preaching this morning. They can be offended. How can you say that, Pastor? How can you say that about our great nation? Yes, we live in a great nation. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless the believers rise up, America will not be America. That's right. But Joash, thank God, this father finally got a backbone in him.
Really?
Yeah, amen. Verse 31, read it with me in your translation. But Joash stood up to the crowd pressing in on him. Are you going to fight Baal's battles for him? Are you going to save him? Anyone who takes Baal's side will be dead by morning. If Baal is a god, in fact, let him fight his own battles and defend his own altar. And church, I'm telling you, we need to rise up and say, let God be God and man be man, but God is not man and man is not God.
Amen.
And if people think they're gods, let them fight their own stinking battles then.
That's right.
But we're going to declare the word of the Lord. And this church is going to go forth and increase because the word of the Lord is being declared, because God's people are praying and believing God and expecting to see things happen. We're not stopping. You're not quitting. You're not going back. Let me read that, verse 31 out of the New King James translation. Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Think about it. Think about it. What are you willing to plead for today? Would you honestly plead for a demon? Would you plead for a demon? Or why don't we plead for the kingdom of God? Why don't we plead for the things of God to come to pass in our lives and in our churches and in our nation?
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to plead for Baal. I'm not going to plead for Baal. But I will plead for the power of God to take place in my life. And it's going to offend people. Yeah, it's going to offend people. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless men and women of God and children that belong to Jesus Christ rise up and start declaring the word of God, everything around you is going to get darker and grosser. That's right. You'll be the light. You're going to plead for Baal? I'm not. I'm not going to plead for Baal. I'm going to plead for the power of God. You say, well, Pastor, we shouldn't have to plead. Okay, well, then I'll change that word. Will you fight for Baal? I'm going to fight for the power and presence of God. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Because I refuse to accept defeat and despair. And distress. I refuse to allow distress to control my life. Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he's a god, let him plead for himself. If he's a god, let him plead for himself. Folks, we need to take a good look at our own lives and start pleading for the presence of God in our own lives. Last point today. I'm almost done, believe it or not, today. I kind of held you a little long last time. I apologize for that. You know, one thing I've noticed, and my wife and I were talking about this. Is Gideon had to forgive his father for what his father was teaching the children. Perhaps Gideon was the only one in his family that chose to serve God, I don't know. But Gideon had to forgive his father. And you know, it's not always easy to forgive. We have to forgive our own brothers and sisters in Christ many times. Maybe I don't know. Maybe there's something you don't like about me. I couldn't imagine what it would be. Okay, there you go. That's right. And maybe you have to forgive me. And forgiveness isn't always natural. It's not always a natural thing. You know, Pastor Laverne this morning said, you know, I get up and dance. And I'm thinking, my goodness, that woman is, I'm not going to say how much older she is than me. She's probably not watching this, okay? If she is, I'll hear about it later. But I thought, my goodness, that woman's up there dancing. I don't feel like dancing, God. Don't ask me to dance. Forget it. I just don't want to dance today. I lift my hands. I'll praise the Lord. I'll move my feet a little bit. You know, I'll put a little bit of effort into it. Then she gets up and says, I just want to invite everybody to dance. And I'm going, oh, Lord. Now, see, you guys look at authority different than I do. I'll be sweet. I'll be sweet. But you guys, you look at authority different than I do. You see, if pastor's standing when he's feeling well, and he's standing, guess where I feel like my place is? To stand. I'm talking about during praise and worship.
Yeah.
And it's to stand. Unless I can't physically do it. I understand that. But if he gets up or Pastor Laverne gets up and says, I just want to invite everybody to dance, to me, that's not an invitation, honey. That is a command.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, amen. I'm just being honest with you.
Yep.
And you can blame Pastor Jerry for this because part of his, I mean, he put 20 years of training into me or 18, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I left here and went back north, got even rougher. And so I answer to people now that if they say something, unless it's a direct violation of what God is telling you to do, you do it. And it's not no silly direct violation either. Well, I would dance, but you know, I'm not a very graceful dancer. Well, who gives a rip how you dance?
Amen.
I don't think I'm very graceful either. I just do this whole thing, Yeah, it's glorifying God, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But I believe in being obedient. If somebody says, do something, I do it, you know? Anyways, that was free.
Thank you.
Why did I say that?
Somebody needed to hear it.
Okay, that's good. Thank you, sis. You know, I'm going to try and take you everywhere I preach.
Okay.
Okay. Then all the Midianites... Spirit of the Lord, point number three, dwells in us and has already given us the victory.
Yes. Amen, amen.
I don't want to leave us on a bad note here, you know. The preacher comes in and leaves you on a bad note. He ain't coming back, honey. Boy, he depressed us. I mean, you know, he just... The Spirit of the Lord, point number three, dwells within you and has already... Everybody say already.
Already
given you the victory. That means, honey, you got the victory whether you feel like it or not, whether you act like it or not, whether you smell like it or not, whether you look like it or not, whether you see like it or not. You got the victory. The victory is yours. I thought that was pretty prophetic. Pastor Laverne singing the song this morning, victory, victory is mine. Victory, victory is mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles, victory shall be mine.
Yes.
Amen. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in us and has already given us victory. Look at verses 33 and 34 with me, would you please? Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. I love this next phrase. Read it with me out of your translation, starting with verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Do it again. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Everything just changed. I said everything just changed.
Yes.
I,
The victory all of a sudden came upon Gideon. The victory maker came upon Gideon. The healer came upon Gideon. The covenant maker came upon Gideon. The one who prospers us came upon Gideon. The strengthener came upon Gideon. The advocate came upon Gideon. The one who stands beside us and goes to battle with us came upon Gideon. Forget that, what are we going to do, Andy stuff, right? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And it's so impressive when I read that in the Old Testament, because I'm going to tell you, every time, almost every time, the Bible says in the Old Testament or the New Testament, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody, they got the victory. God did powerful things. The sun stood still. The moon stood still. The battle took a turn. All the situations all of a sudden became infused with the power of the most holy, almighty God. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon.
Yeah.
And that's how we read it many times. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. What are we missing? Now, I get excited about that. But I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of the Lord dwells where today? Is he in this building? No, don't answer it yet. Is he in our city government office?
No.
Is he in the hospital?
No,
he's not. He's not. Where is he? Somebody shout it out. Shout it out.
In us.
In us. Shout it again. Where is he? I said, where is he? He's in you, and you, and you, and you, and you. So if you're in the hospital, where is he? If you're in the city government building, where is he? Well, some of you didn't believe that.
He's in me.
If he's in the city government building, if he's in you and you're in the city government building, where is he? Thank you. You see, Holy Ghost inspired challenges will bring Holy Ghost inspired victories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our worship leader up in the church we go to in Cincinnati, he was leading worship at our church for about a month. I think it was about a month. Awesome worship leader. Our pastor went out to Kansas City and got him. I guess that's how it worked somehow. Brought him in. We didn't have a full-time worship. We didn't have a worship leader at the time. Church about 200 and no worship leader is kind of tough, you know. 4 weeks after he gets there, he has a heart attack. In his 40s, early 40s. He's got a 13-year-old boy. And he has a heart attack. On the hospital table. Because he didn't feel right. Told his wife, I don't feel right. Something's wrong. He wasn't in pain. He just didn't feel right. So he went to the hospital. They sent him home. Said, no, there's nothing wrong with you. Told his wife, I don't feel right. So they took him to another hospital down in Cincinnati. And while he was on the table that time, he had a heart attack right there on the table. And so he had 5 bypasses done that night. Had to have it done. He's going to die if he didn't. His blockage was 90%. 40-year-old man or 41, 42-year-old man. The blockage, something like 90%. That's terrible. 87%. He led worship for the first time again at our church Thursday night. Now, he hadn't led worship for over 3 months. I've been in a lot of pain in my body with my hip. I've been doing a lot of outside work, a lot of ladder work, carrying 36-foot ladders. You know, I'm not a big guy. That's a heavy ladder, 36-foot ladder. 24-foot ladder was enough for me. I like 24-footers, but, you know, extending them and coming down, up and down, up and down. I've been doing outside work for the last month, literally. Been working hard, long hours. And my hip has been so much pain. I go to bed at night and I hurt.
I fall asleep and I get on that waterbed and I go, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I wake up, I'm laying on my side and I'm in pain. I got to get off my side. And just, you know how it is. I go to church and literally I'm standing in church, Sister Sherry, standing there worshiping the Lord, and I'm in such pain I just can't hardly stand up. But I still lift my hands and worship God and just for who He is and just because He's worthy of it and because I'm going to do everything I can is going to be to God anyways. It's going to be to God's glory. But I went through this for 2 or 3 weeks, this pain, constant pain. I'd get in the car and get out, and I'd get out like an old man. I felt like, never mind who I felt like, but I didn't feel like a believer that was healed, you know. And I'd walk like an old man almost when I first took steps, and I thought, I refuse to walk like an old man. I'm not old. I'm not even middle-aged yet, by the way. I'm going to live to 120, so 60 years is middle age. I'm far from 60 years right now. So anyways, I was standing in there worshiping Thursday night at church, and I was in pain. I was in pain just standing there. I was in pain. I kept moving my feet to get the weight off that hip a little bit, you know, but worshiping the Lord. He starts singing this song about healing. Now, this man just went through 5 bypass surgery 3 months before. And he starts singing this song about the healing of God belonging to God's people. And that it was God's will for him to be healed, and it's God's will for us to be healed. And I'm going, oh, Jesus. And all of a sudden, I got a picture of myself. I was standing up painting on an A-frame house a couple weeks ago, last week, actually. And I was up about, 25 feet up and standing on a scaffolding, which I'm not comfortable with anyways. I usually use ladders, but this lady had scaffolding. I was standing up there, and so I was holding on to the scaffolding side with this hand and reaching up as far as I could, you know, and getting up there and painting an eave, a fascia board. How many of you know what a fascia board is? It's the board on the outside of the roof line, yeah. And I was painting that fascia board and stuff. And the guys, 2 of the carpenters were down there, and I know them well. We joke a lot. And then one of them said to the other, said, Jack, you think we'll ever be able to get those indentations off of that scaffolding, metal scaffolding, you know, from my fingers, you know, because I was holding so tight. And I was holding tight. I got a picture of that, though, while I was worshiping the Lord Thursday night. And I got a picture of just holding tight to the healing word of God. And I took this hand that was holding onto that scaffolding, and I squeezed it tight. And I said, God, I'm grabbing a hold of your healing power tonight. I mean, I was hurting so bad, I wanted the preacher to anoint me with oil and lay hands on me and pray when I got there. I'll be honest with you. That's how bad I was hurting. And you don't do that in our church necessarily, you know, without being anointed to do it, you know. And I said, oh, Jesus, I'm just holding on to your healing anointing and singing. I'm singing that song about healing, belonging. And all of a sudden, I start this. And I go, man, there's no pain. No pain. I jumped on purpose in worship. No pain. I did this number. No pain. You know, I did all kinds of, I thought, oh, no pain. This is awesome. No pain. Why? Because the Holy Ghost dwells in me. And the Holy Ghost in me was causing me to rise up and connect with that healing word that was going forward at that moment. Folks, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is still at work in us.
Yes.
That same Spirit that raised who from the dead?
Christ.
Christ dwells in us. And since, not if. Throw out the word if. Anytime you see it in the Bible, change it to since. That's what I do anyways. With promises. And since the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, he shall, and actually he has, my confession is, quickened my mortal, that's my physical body, not my spiritual body. My spiritual body don't need quickened, honey. It's perfect. It's my physical body that needs quickened. It's my emotional body that needs healed. He shall quicken my mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in me. See, the Spirit of the Lord dwells in us. We don't have to wait for the Spirit of the Lord to move upon us. Aren't you thankful for that today?
Amen.
I'm not waiting for the Spirit of God to move upon me. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to move in line with the Word, and I'm moving in line with the Spirit. Every time the Spirit of the Lord moved upon people in the Old Testament times, it was for a Word of God to move victoriously. You know, there's only one time I'm thinking about in the New Testament when the Spirit of the Lord moved on somebody and somebody ended up dead. How many of you remember that story? Raise your hand if you know that story I'm talking about. One, two, three, four, five, maybe six or seven. All right, I'll tell you real quick. In the book of Acts, when Ananias and Sapphira came to, they sold a piece of property, and they said, man, we sold this property. We're giving it all to the church. No, they didn't have to give it all to the church. That wasn't the requirement. But they said they were going to, and they could have even backed down after that. But they came and brought it and said, oh, this is all, you know, this $50,000, we sold it for $150,000, but $50,000 is good enough for this church after all in this ministry. And so we're going to give this $50,000 and we're going to pocket the $100,000. Oh, we gave it all to the church. Yeah. Well, they didn't.
No, they lied.
They lied. Yeah. And they died. Yeah. That's the only time I know that the Spirit of the Lord moved on somebody and boom. Yeah. The young men carried him out and buried him. Every time, every other time the Spirit of the Lord has moved upon people or moved in people, it's been for blessing. It's been for power. It's been for anointing. It's been for healing. It's been for victory. It's been for peace. Peace. I don't, you know, in my life, one of the things that I'm dealing with in my life is continuing to walk in peace. Stay in peace. Peace. Every time the Spirit of the Lord moves, He moves for peace. Oh. And I will say this, because some of us don't know this, and we need to know it. When the Spirit of the Lord moves you under this new covenant, He never moves you into bondage. Amen. Never. Amen. He always moves you out of bondage.
Right.
Isn't that awesome? Let's all stand. I don't know. Could I have the worship team that's here come up, please? Is that possible? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It's only 11:45. I want us to take a minute. And I know we got the children in here, and that's fine. Those children have been in the presence of God. They've been in teaching. They've been enjoying the good things of God in those classes. I don't know, Sister Sherry, can you lead us in a worship course? Maybe something that just draws us into the presence of God, just draws us a little bit closer. While the worship team is getting together, I want you to just take a look at your lives, your own lives. I believe everybody here has probably been born again. But I want to ask you a question, just in case you haven't. Just in case there's somebody here who has not been born again yet. The Bible says you must be born again.
Amen.
It's not optional. It's a must. You must. To see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Could everybody here raise their hand and say, Brother Richard, I've been born again. If you've been born again, raise your hand. Say, yes, I've been born again. I know I'm born again. All right, keep them up. I haven't seen everybody's hand yet. Get them up again. I've been born again. All right. Okay. You can put your hands down. I'm thankful that we're all born again. Now let me ask you this. We talked about the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in us and already giving us the victory. There are some people here that have been going through some trials in your life. And necessarily, why? Why this thing is happening to me? It doesn't make sense. I don't deserve it. And guess what? You don't deserve it. You don't. But if you're here today and you've been going through some things, you've been really struggling with some things in your life. And you say, man, I want somebody to stand with me on this. I want somebody to agree with me on the Word of God that this isn't going to defeat me and this isn't going to destroy me. I want you to come forward. While they play, sing, you just come on forward. Hallelujah. Come on. Okay. Pastor Kim.
God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God, our God. Thank you, Jesus. And
God. I want to.
Praise God. Somebody got saved today.
Oh, we had a car wreck a week ago Saturday, and it totaled our car. We were rear-ended. My back got hurt, which, no pain. He got hurt, and two things happened. God put a bubble over my kids. We had just dropped my oldest off at her nanny's, and when he hit, he bounced off the back, and he crushed in her door where she would have been sitting.
Okay, number one, there's a physical body that was saved. There is no funeral. Cool? No, that's not enough.
Actually, there was two physical bodies. She was in the back seat, and there was glass from the window in the back seat all around her booster and in her booster seat, and she did not have a scratch on her. And then my 10-year-old got saved this morning. Give her life.
God's protection. God's protection. Thank you, Brother Richard and Sister Bonita. Thank you for the anointing on your lives. We want to bless the men and women of God today with an offering. The offering bucket sitting on the back. Just take a moment and see what God would have you to bless their lives with. So let's stand. Father, we thank you for the service today. As we have come into this place to offer you praise and to offer you worship, that no one will leave this place, Lord, without having heard from you today in some way and somehow, because your word doesn't go void, Father, but it's going to accomplish its purpose. Thank you for this man and woman of God that you have sent our way, for the word that they have sown into our lives, God. We thank you for the fruition of that word coming to pass. Thank you again for raising our pastor up, bringing complete deliverance and complete healing. I speak a blessing over these people today, Lord, as they go forth into this week, that nothing is going to happen that them and you and the Holy Ghost can't handle together. That they are surrounded by your favor. My goodness, they can't help but be blessed because they are the anointed of the Lord. And I thank your favor surrounds them even this week, God. That unexpected blessings is coming in from the north, east, south, and west. And again, I prophesy and I say that your children are coming home. That your children are coming home and they will be restored, they will be delivered, and they will be healed because the word of the Lord has been implanted in their lives. And I speak to those from the north, east, south, and west to give it up. To release hold on them in the name of Jesus. Every addiction broken, every bondage broken. I speak that over your children now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that your word has been sent and healed, to heal them and to deliver them and set them free. And the church said,
Amen. Amen.